You're listening to the Redemption Church podcast. We hope that you're encouraged by today's message.
Before we get started tonight, I want to tell you a story, because every good sermon starts with a story, right? You got to tell a story, you got to tell a joke, you got to tell something. You got to do it. You got to get the crowd warmed up, okay? So you guys know I like to play pickleball, right? So I was playing pickleball, and so I have these four people that I play pickleball with all the time. It's like we meet together, our teams are already set up. I play with this one guy, and the other guy that plays, you guys know him, Pastor Jonathan and his wife, they play against us. We rarely switch up the teams that much because they've kind of learned their rhythms. They play really well together. My friend and I, another one of the teachers, we play really well together. We know each other well enough. We know where to hit, where not to hit, and what's his spot, what's my spot. And we just kind of have gelled, and we made this like little foursome that plays together all the time, and sometimes we have invited guests, and so we've been kind of trying to, they've been, and I don't put this together, and my friend Jonathan puts it together, and so more people have started coming. We play at his courts now, and so he started inviting a lot more people, and these people that I've never played with before, they don't know my rhythms. They don't know how I play, right? So I got teamed up with this guy. He's like leaping in the air, like hitting a ball, like cross court at like 4,000 miles an hour. Now I'm mediocre at pickleball, okay? So I can play. I've been doing it for a couple of years, but I only play maybe once a week or two or three times a month at most. And so these guys, they're playing three and four times a week. And you know how that is, right? When you practice something, you get better at it. And so we're playing this game, and you know, like I said, I'm a mediocre player, and he's an elevated player. He plays in tournaments and stuff, and he's like, oh, yeah, you need to do this, and you need to do this. And when I come up here like this, I need you to kind of go, and I need you to do that over there. And I'm like, yeah. And I was listening to all of his things, and because he's so much better than me, right? And I'm getting better. And I'm like, all right, yeah. This is going. And he keeps going. The more I receive it, the more he coaches me. More and more and more. He's like, no. You need to do this now, and you need to do this now, and you need to do it. And when you hit it, you got to do this now. And we played a game, and we won. And I was like, all right, this is good. And then we played another game, and he's like, okay, now you need to do that, and now that. And if you could just work on this little bitty thing right here, you see where this is going? We played another game, and we lost. And so it's 1-1, and I was getting a little frustrated. I'm pretty patient, but it's like, yeah, I was getting better, but he was literally pointing out every mistake that I made, criticizing every little thing that I did. And we had never played together. We had different rhythms. We had different things. I was used to my friend who was actually on the other side of the court. And I was like, please, Dave, come and play with me. But it's 1-1 and you can't walk away. You got to have a champion. You got to know who's going to win, right? So I was like, all right. I'm going to play another game. Lord, give me the patience. No, when I hit it like this, you got to move over there. No, you can't hit it like that. You can't. He makes a mistake, and I'm like, you're allowed to hit it like that, and I'm not allowed to hit it like that. Okay. Right? No. I told you already a couple of times. We don't do it like that. You got it. And I was like, would you please just stop? I had it. I was done. I told you. Guys, you know you got to be patient. You know you got to be kind. You know you got to be a witness at all time. But it is so hard to walk out sometimes. And I'm like, would you just stop? And he's like, what? I'm just communicating. This is how we communicate. And I'm like, no, man, you're not. You're pointing out everything I do wrong. You're like on my case the whole time. He's like, no, strengths and weaknesses. I notice your weaknesses. I know my strengths. And I was like, you're basically telling me get in the back corner and let me play the whole court. I was like, we're not playing together. Strengths and weaknesses means I find my place where I'm strong. You find your place where you're strong. And we're playing together and we're gelling and we're finding that and we're forgiving each other's weaknesses and we're looking at these things. And I was like, would you? And he got mad. I was mad too. Right? He's like, okay. He missed one and he'd be like, oh, I just don't want to play your ball. So I just don't want to. I'm like, oh, Lord, give me patience. And so we were winning 10 to 2, 10 to 4, 10 to 6, 10 to 8. I'm like, please just let this end. It goes to 11, just so you know. We play games to 11, 10 to 9, 10 to 10. You got to win by 2. 10 to 11, our advantage. Okay, here we go. Let's do this thing. 11 to 11, 11 to 12, 11 to 13, we lost. We lost. Now, we were way better. But here's what I want to tell you. When I popped, when I finally lost it and said, would you please just stop? One of the players was on the other side, and he's like, oh, this is good. Look at him. Division. If you can get a team divided against itself, it will always lose. Because unless these guys are working together, and this guy said this verbatim, unless these guys are working together, they're going to lose. We're going to beat them now. It don't even matter. As long as they're fighting, as long as they're critical of each other, we're going to win. And I just thought to myself, right? I was like, Lord, why? Why? That guy, he ain't a believer. This was an opportunity. It was an opportunity. I should have been showing him as much Jesus as possible, loving on that guy, right? And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I blew it. And then I started thinking about this story, and I said, you know, this kind of relates. Because really and truthfully, if we had worked together, we would have been better together. Somebody new came into my team. It was different than my regular rhythm. I got my guy. I got the guy I play with. I know how I do things. He knows how I do things. We're good together. But somebody new came onto my team. And I thought about that guy standing there on the other side and said, oh, we got him now. And I mean, the poor guy, he doesn't even know. It's like, get behind me, Satan, right? He was laughing, he was pointing, and I was like, you know, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. And he wants to do things like that in our lives. He wants to say, hey, listen, you got a different rhythm. You got a different rhythm. Now, this can be beautiful, and it can work together, and it can be amazing, and we can be better together, and we can be unified, and we can use strengths, and we can use weaknesses, and fill gaps, and do all of these things. Or the enemy could sit there and go, oh, I got them. They're going to lose. You know what I wanted to do, guys? I'm going to tell you right now. When I finally got to the point where I was like, would you just stop? I wanted to take my paddle. I wanted to put it back in my backpack. I wanted to put it on my back and walk away from there. That's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to walk away. Not only that. On the way home, I'm replaying the scenario in my head, every piece of it. I'm like, yeah, no, he was wrong. He did this. Right before I walked out of that place, no, I was as Christian as you could be, right? I walked up to him and I said, hey, man, I'm sorry. Sometimes I get in my head and I just get frustrated. I really apologize. I didn't mean to pop off at you like that. He's like, yeah. No, it's fine, man. It's fine. It's okay. I'm like, yeah, but it's not. It's not. Right? And so on the way home, I'm driving, and I said, you know what? I'm done. I sell that stupid paddle. Causes problems in my life. I got to get out of there, and I never want to go back to that place again unless my four people are the only four playing. Be careful. Be careful. It parallels to what we're doing here. We're gonna get in Scripture tonight in John chapter 17. And this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, guys. So I'm excited to teach this to you. Okay. So all throughout Scripture, we get Jesus, right? And I love teaching the life of Jesus. And so what happens in we get this prayer of Jesus, and you guys know it. It's called the Lord's Prayer, but it really should be called the Disciples' Prayer because Jesus is teaching it to his disciples, right? But that's not what this is. We've got that one, but that's not Jesus praying to his Father. That's teaching his disciples how to pray. But John 17, no. This is a recorded prayer of Jesus, the Son, talking directly to his Father. So we got God talking to God, right? Just like in Genesis 1 and 26 when it said, let us make mankind in our image. So this is a beautiful thing. This is an amazing passage of Scripture that we have in John chapter 17. And so when we were when we had our Afterglow service a couple of weeks ago, God gave me this passage and I was reading a piece of this passage. And so that's why I was led to this for tonight's message. And he says in verse 13, that's where we're going to be, John 17, 13 through 15. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask you that you would guide us, direct us, that you would walk us through this, Lord, that you would teach us tonight, Lord, that you would fill us with your spirit, Lord. Give us wisdom and insight into these passages, Lord, that they may minister to our very souls, Lord, and make us look more like you. Lord, help us to know your word that we may know you better. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Beware the way of the enemy. Beware the way of the enemy. That story that I told you, the other team, oh, we got him now, right? Beware the way of the enemy. You see this passage of Scripture, and Jesus tells him, he tells the Father, he says, Father, I'm praying for my disciples here. I don't ask that you take them out of this world. They're going to experience frustrations. They're going to experience trials. They're going to do these things. But I ask you that you keep them from the evil one. You keep them from the evil one. And here's the thing. Walk away. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to play pickleball with these guys anymore. I already decided when my friend says, hey, you want to play pickleball next minute? Who's coming? Right? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Because we get like that. Well, if she's going to be there, if he's going to be there, I don't know. We butted head last time I worked together. I'm not sure I want to do that. I'm not sure I want to do that. They just do things so differently than me. I'm not sure if I like that. And here's the ploy of the enemy, and you all know it, right? When we are together, when we are as one unit, the Bible calls the devil like a lion that's seeking whom he may destroy. And lions, they wait in the brush. And they watch that pack of antelope go across, that pack of zebras. And then they watch one little one fall out of the back, or one frail one, one that has something that caused them to get out of the herd. And they're like, that's the one. That's dinner. That's the one. And that's what the Bible's referring to when it says that the devil is seeking whom he may destroy. He's like a lion. He's waiting in the brush, and he's like, where's the one going to fall out the back? Where's the one that's going to say, not for me? This is hard. The rhythms are different. Everything is different. Where's the one? Because that one is the one I'm going after. Because when we talk about the idea that we're better together, It's because in our numbers, in our strength, we can reach more people for Jesus. We can worship better. We can encourage one another. We can encourage our strengths, our gifts, our talents, and all of the things that the Lord has in us. Let's keep reading. In verse 16, Jesus says, "They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world." You're not of this world. Did you know that? Right? There was a clothing line several years ago, okay, and it was NOTW. I don't know if any of you guys remember that clothing line or not. It was real popular amongst teenagers. It was NOTW. It was not of this world. Not of this world. I think it's been 20 years. Dating myself here, right? 20 years ago, that clothing line was super popular, not of this world. And it's based on this passage of scripture. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. So sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. How important it is that we stay in the word of God. As you sent me into this world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Look at that, church. Underline that. Put that in your Bible. Jesus prayed for you in John 17, 20. I do not only ask for these, my disciples, but for everyone that will know about me through their word. That's you. Jesus prayed for you over 2,000 years ago. He prayed for you. Everyone that will know them according to their word. Everyone that will know me according to the word given to them. That they may be as one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them. That they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me. That they may become perfectly one. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Beware the way of the enemy, rather the desire of the Lord, be perfectly one. What does God desire? What does he want for his church? This is what he wants. With the one prayer that we have in the Bible of Jesus praying out loud to the Father, the thing that he prays is that his church would be as one. That it would be one body with the same purpose and that the enemy would have no place there. That we would work together. And so what does the enemy want? If you heard your nemesis praying out loud, recorded forever in Scripture, say, "My desire is that they would be as one." Oh, then I shall divide them. Right? Oh, that's what people do when they do evil things. My kids are laughing at me back there. They're like, she's like, "What are you doing, Dad?" Right? That's the old-fashioned, like, ooh, but I can't do it very well. So anyway, so that they would be perfectly one, he says. He doesn't even just say unify them. He said make them perfectly one as you and I are one. And here's the truth, church. Only Jesus can do it. Only Jesus can do it. Only Jesus can do it. It's so important that we stay in the word together, that we pray together, that we worship together. Don't be the gazelle that falls out of the pack. Don't be the one that says, "I can't run any further." He loves you. He has a plan for you, for us in this transition. I've often asked the Lord, been here for 7 years. I'm like, "Lord, what are you doing?" You ever ask the Lord that? Kind of a bold prayer, I guess, but I get real honest with the Lord. I tell him I'm mad. I'm like, "Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm frustrated." You ever told the Lord that? Because he knows already. So if you ain't telling him, you're hiding. You ain't hiding nothing from him. He knows you're mad. He knows you're frustrated. Be patient. Be patient. I'm like, "Lord, what are you doing with Redemption Church? What are you doing?" Man, I look around the room and I say, gifted, 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 gifted. There are spiritual gifts galore sitting right here in this room, and I know that God wants to use every single one of them because God doesn't gift you unless he wants to do something with you. Amen. He's not going to give you something and say, oh, here's a gift. Just throw it aside. Don't worry about it. If he gave you the gift of teaching, he wants you teaching. If he gave you the gift of servitude, then he wants you serving. If he gave you the gift of children's ministry, because praise the Lord, that is a gift I do not have. I hope you got it, okay? We'll bring you up. We'll anoint you with oil. We'll pour the blessings over top of you. Got the gift of children's ministry. Woo! Whatever it is, church, if you got the gift of setup, I praise God for the guys that got the gift of setup. Because when they don't show up, I'm like, woo! Right? And I've looked at this body of believers for the last 7 years, and I've watched this church go, right? And Natalia knows, she's been here since the very beginning, since it was in Veterans Park. And you're like, all right, we got some momentum. God's doing some stuff, right? Both of you, I'm sorry. I said Natalia. Ronnie's been there. He's like, dang it, I always get left out. But it was her birthday. I got to give her attention. And I'm like, Lord, the level of gifting inside of this spiritual body is higher than the level of gifting in the church that I came from that had 200 people in it. Why? What are you doing? What are you doing? The other night in the meeting in our afterglow service, somebody said this. The Lord gave me a message. That's what they said. And they said, you were made for such a moment as this. Esther 4:14. You were made for such a moment as this. Maybe the Lord has set you aside. Maybe he has made you for such a moment as this. To fit in, right? And as Christine said in the beginning, what are we going to do? We're going to blend. We're going to fit these things in here. But really and truthfully, it's all about becoming perfectly one. It's about becoming perfectly one. And it don't matter. It doesn't matter with the body of Christ. If you're serving in a Baptist church, if you're in the light church in a bilingual church, if you're in Calvary Palm Beaches, if you're in Redemption, if you're in some other church, God wants us to be as one and encourage each other and build each other up and do these things for his glory. And if you'll see that, right, what does he say? That they may reach this world. That they may reach this world. He wants to make us one so that we can reach the world. And the devil says, oh, so if I divide them, they can't reach the world. Yeah, that's right. That's right. If I divide them, they can't reach this world. You were made for such a moment as this. Oh, God, don't make mistakes. He's been working. He's been preparing. He's been doing his thing. Imagine being Moses. You ever think about that? You study the scripture and you look at Moses, and we look at the scripture and we're like, yep, chapter. Great. That's about 10 minutes worth of reading. Or 40 years of Moses' life. Okay? I don't want to tell you guys how old Natalia is, but she just turned 40. That's a long time, isn't it? I know you're not supposed to tell that stuff, but now it's recorded forever. The internet knows, right? Okay. No, but listen, here's the thing. 40 years is a long time, isn't it? Hasn't a lot of things happened in 40 years? We read it in the book of the Bible, and it's like one chapter. And then he went to the wilderness, and he spent 40 years. Great. That was like two verses, right? 40 years in my life, I'm like, that is the longest time in the whole wide world. What if the Lord wants to wait a long time before he can use us? I've been looking at 7 years going, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, what are you doing? He's like, I got it. I'm preparing you. I'm preparing you. I want to reach greater Palm Beach County, not just Delray Beach. I want to reach more people than you can imagine. So I'm doing something bigger than you can even fathom. I'm going to put this thing together in a new way. I love that Christine said that because I was thinking about that. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing, blending these two bodies together, right? It's a new family. It's a new family. And it's going to be a beautiful thing if we allow God to do his work. You've been prepared for such a time as this. He prepared Moses. He prepared Esther. Think about that. He prepared Paul. Even Paul, while he was a Jew, he studied under the greatest teachers in Judaism. The greatest teacher. And Paul came into the faith, and he knew so much about the Jewish people and about the Jewish faith that he was able to lead thousands of people to the Lord. And God said, yeah, but I really have you for the Gentiles. And he's like, but you don't understand. He's like, Paul, I've been preparing you. I do understand. I've been preparing you. But you don't understand. God, this wasn't my plan. He's like, I know. I know. But trust me, my plan's better than yours. It's better than yours, right? Let's finish reading this. Father, I desire they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. I love that, church. At the end of this passage, he says, hey, my greatest desire for them is to make them perfectly one, to make them perfectly one. The enemy wants to divide them. And he said, now I'm going to tell you how that's going to be done. Right here at the end of this passage, how? Jesus in me. The victory's already been won. Amen. Will you let him work? Will you let him do what he wants to do? Can we step aside and say, Jesus, whatever you want. Yes, yes. Jesus, whatever you want. Show me, Lord. Show me what you want in the midst of this. Do you want me to mop floors? Then I'll mop floors. Do you want me to lead an outreach ministry and evangelize? Then we'll go and we'll evangelize if that's what you want, Lord. Are we willing? Are we willing? Because God can do amazing things. And I shared with my Thursday night group, we say we have the best group. I get a testimony. Yes, amen. Amen. Nothing against the rest of you guys, but we got the best group. Yes. Okay, anyway, I shared with my group the other night. I'm reading a book right now. I know I'm cheating. I'm listening to a book right now, but, you know, we understand our strengths and our weaknesses, right? So I'm listening to a book right now by Louis Giglio, and if you don't know who he is, I encourage you to look him up. He's a great writer, speaker. He's really incredible. He's done a ton of stuff about space and God's hand and creation, and they're just really beautiful messages that he put together. But he wrote a book, and it's called Don't Let the Enemy Have a Seat at Your Table. And he was talking about an inner church conflict that he had with another person in his church as he was church planning. And this guy was just driving him crazy. And he was counseling with another pastor through it. And something happened. Something happened, and this guy did something. And Louis said he texted his friend. And he said, did you hear? Did you hear what happened to this person? And he expected, he waited. He anticipated a text back for the guy to say, see, the Lord works and the Lord does the thing and he takes away. And he's like, I expected something. And he said, the guy texted me back and said, don't let the enemy have a seat at your table. It's your brother. It's your brother. Don't let the enemy have a seat at your table. And he read Psalm 23 and he said, the Lord says in verses 5 and 6, it says, I have prepared a place for you, a table for you in the presence of your enemies. The enemy's going to be swarming all around you. You've been invited to come together with Calvary of the Palm Beaches and dine at the table of Jesus together as a family, and it's beautiful. But don't leave a seat for the enemy, because his goal is to divide us, not make us perfectly one. There's beauty in breaking bread together. Man, I'm telling you, the meals that I've gone to already, two of them already. I think I gained 10 pounds, right? So listen, God wants to do something, and he wants to use you in the midst of it. Christine came tonight, and she opened up that door of opportunity of service. There's a bunch of places. Get your name on that list. Let God work together and make us perfectly one. Amen. Or if you need to sit for a minute and say, Lord, I want to wait until you speak to me and tell me where I'm supposed to be serving. You know you're gifted. God's done a great thing in you. He's been raising you up for such a time as this. I know this is going to be a beautiful thing, Redemption Church, and I'm excited. And we're going to go out there, and we are going to walk in victory together because we are unified and better together, right? Amen, amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Williams at Redemption Church in Delray Beach. Thank you so much for listening to that message. We pray it was an encouragement, it was a blessing to you as we love to pursue and to proclaim Jesus together. And so no matter where you're listening, whether it be YouTube or our podcast, you can go to more resources at redemptiondb.com and even partner with us in ministry to pursue and to proclaim Jesus. God bless you, and thank you so much for listening.